I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Miss Marissa, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am terrific.
Oh, man, you always outdo me with your terrifics. I need to think ahead next time for
maybe
more.
Maybe you should just have you start out, or me start out, and then you can say it's the next page, and then I'll have to go second.
Time is just flying for me. I can't believe, like, I'm starting to feel like it's almost spring. That's good for me.
But as we record this, some folks in our Macne area have a blizzard warning. So
I know.
Wow. But even if it comes now, you know, like I remember the blizzard of 93. Now I'm sure you don't. But anyways, I vividly remember the blizzard of 93. And it happened like the third week of March.
It did.
Mm-hmm. And within a few weeks, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's all good.
Yep. I'm seeing the light, you know, like it's daylight savings
Yes. And I've heard that a lot of the migratory birds will be crossing over the next 3 weeks, crossing
through
our
area
to go up north. So it is, that's why we're terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Life is good. So today, I think I'm actually throwing people a curveball a little bit because I'm talking about mentoring, but I don't want to talk about mentoring from the standpoint of being the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Because about a year ago, I think it might have been a year ago in February, or it will be a year in February. Well, we're already through February, aren't we? Wow.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my. That was rough. There's a senior moment. A year ago, I wrote a post, and we did a podcast titled They Made Such a Difference.
Yeah.
And it was really reflecting on three wonderful mentors that I had in my life. And I've had more than three, thankfully. It was my dad, Don Dew, and John Maxwell. And what they did, the difference they made in my life. But today I want us to look at it from a standpoint of the mentee, not the mentor. Because I think we miss that sometimes. I think we're always focused on mentoring. But those of us that are the mentees have a responsibility. And really what I kind of brought out in my post was, are we giving a return on the investment that the mentor is giving us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mentors are giving us their most precious and most limited asset, and that's their time. And if we're not ready, when we're not ready for the conversation, we are wasting their time. And so for me, I kind of was looking at it as what was it that they wanted from me? And so I made some notes in the post that went out. You know, my dad expected me to take what he taught and live it out in my life. And so all of the things that I saw him, that I heard him say, the things that I saw him live out, he expected me to live out to the next generation of the family, so to speak, and to model those things for my kids, my grandkids. Don Dew also expected me to implement the things that he was saying. And it was interesting. So if you think about the way a parent mentors, I shouldn't say they don't have a choice, but it's an expectation, right, that a parent would mentor their children. There was no expectation that Don Dew would mentor me. He offered to do it. Well, I kind of asked. I said, when they offered me the position of president of the company, I said I would only do it on one condition, and that was that you mentor me for at least a year, that I would take a VP of operations title for a year, at least a year, and when he thought I was ready, he would make me president. So now I'm actually wondering, I wonder if he just made me president because he was tired of mentoring me. But probably not the case.
I don't think so.
No, because he continued to mentor me actually until he passed away quite a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
But years later, after he was just more of an occasional mentor, we were walking through the plant that we had just moved into, and I said, Don, I really want to thank you for all of the time that you spent with me, all of the value you added to my life. And he just smiled and he goes, David, you made it so easy because you were so hungry to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the key things. If we're going to be mentored, we have to be hungry to learn. I'll never forget, I had a coaching client for a while. And this client used to show up at my office for the meeting, never give me their session prep form in advance. Never come prepared. And I would say, so what would you like to talk about? I don't know. Like, did you really just say that? You know, it was a waste of their time, my time, and their money.
Their money,
they were paying
yeah.
me for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was crazy. You know, John Maxwell, you know, he was the one that really impressed it upon me that you can't give what you don't have. And you better keep growing, because we're meant to. He was the one that said, you know, we're rivers, not reservoirs.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there was this expectation on these three mentors that I identified a year ago that something specific was going to happen by them mentoring me. And this was a great quote that I found. This is John Wooden. There is nothing you know that you haven't learned from someone else. Now, that sounds like a duh statement, but it kind of goes back to, you know, I had in the post that went out this morning, I talked about there are some people that say they're self-made people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not possible.
Yeah.
Because a self-made person is a pretty small package.
And especially for the three examples that you share, and for anyone who wants to go back and reference the original post, They Made Such a Difference, it is linked in this week's post, so you can go back. And I know you talk a little bit more about these three people, but
yes.
They, you know, they all came into your life in a different way. And, you know,
right.
Like your dad is your dad. So
right.
You had, you know, that father-son relationship, and then Don may have been, well, was a more formal, like, will you be my mentor? And
yes.
Then John is someone who, yes, you've spent time with, but a lot of your learning from him has happened via trainings and
yes, books,
articles,
videos.
And books,
yep.
Videos, all kinds of things. So all three are different relationships, but
right.
You were able to identify your responsibility in that relationship. And it's easy to think that, like, oh, I'm just here to learn from you. But really, it's
yeah.
more than that. It's like, I'm here to learn from you. I'm here to show you that I'm learning, and I'm going to teach it to someone else, which
exactly.
is the ultimate compliment, right?
Exactly. And you know, we could end the podcast right now, because those are the exact points. You know, if someone's investing their time in me, will they get a return on it?
Mm-hmm.
And the return isn't, okay, I'm paying you, you know. When John Maxwell did I pay John Maxwell? I paid to become certified to be a member of his team.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've had those opportunities, you know, to have the more intimate conversation, I'm not paying for that.
Right.
The mentoring that he gave me to introduce me to himself were books and videos that I watched even before signing up, so to speak, for the team.
Mm-hmm.
The real investment was he had done the work, he had put the materials out so that I could take advantage of them and then give them to other people.
Right.
And I think you'll probably remember this, that when I first came to MacNee, His best-selling book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the only way he said, I want you to teach these, but you can't charge for that. So we had done at that point, we were doing that as part of our individual membership thing, where we every month would take two laws till we had worked our way through the 21 laws. And it was a complimentary thing given to our individual members, because his goal was to get me teaching,
mm-hmm.
to get me offering those things to other people. Some of the notes that I made, you know, when you're in a mentoring relationship, is that we need to set expectations up front. If I think back, like with Don, you know, the expectation was that it would be at least a year. That was my request. He determined the frequency, which was fine with me, that once a week on a Monday morning, he showed up at my office at about 9 o'clock, and he spent 3 hours with me every Monday for a year. Sometimes it was more than that. He would come in on other days as well, but that was mm-hmm. that was the thing right up front. And the expectation from that he was bringing what he was expecting of me was to do homework in between. He would ask me questions, and if I didn't have the answer, he'd say, why don't you find that out and get back to me next week? Or get back to me in between. So those expectations up front are really clear. But the other thing is, do you come ready? There's nothing worse than somebody showing up for a mentoring session and they're not ready. They haven't thought it through. One of the great stories, the ones that I love, is when John Maxwell went to meet with John Wooden for the first time and he had 5 pages of notes, yeah, or 5 pages of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, when they ran out of time for that first meeting, John Wooden said, well, you know, would you like to come back? Well, the answer, of course, if John Wooden tells you, you get a chance to be mentored by him, of course you're going to come back. But he gave him the opportunity to come back because he knew he was prepared. Because I can't imagine how many people, mm-hmm, would have loved to have had time with the greatest coach that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you need to keep earning their time. You can't take for granted, because most mentoring is not something you pay for. It's typically something that someone is doing because they want to invest in you, but you got to earn their time. You got to improve, not just learn. So if, you know, does that statement make sense to you, that you have to improve, not just learn?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can learn anything. You can sit down and spend 20 minutes learning something and then never use it again.
Right. Right.
So you got the point in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The point is, I can't just learn something. You know, there's all kinds of people that are almost like perpetual students. They're forever taking courses but they don't do anything with it. Mentoring says that if I'm going to learn, there has to be a change in my behavior. And that change has to be seen by other people. And then I love the next point that John had. And we're actually, a lot of this is coming out of John's newest book, The Leader's Greatest Return. But John also said, you must be willing to mentor other people. So that's kind of this continuum of the value of mentoring. And in my post, I actually quote, I refer to it in my post as the ancient text, but it's actually a part of a verse out of the Bible, and it says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is as old as the Bible itself, probably older, before there was written word, people teaching people to do things and expecting them to teach other people. Interesting, you know, the thought that I just had is it really is the same thing as an apprenticeship, where we learn by doing, and so the master craftsman is teaching us something.
Mm-hmm.
So we practice what they did. I'm gonna ask you a question now. So if you were thinking of finding a mentor, what would you look for in a mentor?
I would look for someone who has similar values to me.
Perfect.
And
good.
Who, like, I've looked up to for,
yep,
some kind of span of time in history. Mm-hmm. And probably someone who I would feel comfortable talking with, possibly like difficult conversations.
Yes.
Or like knowing that person would be able to give me like sage advice on having difficult conversations.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, the similar values is critical, because values are so much a part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if somebody says, well, you know, no, values aren't important to me. Well, that's a value.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, all of us have them, and they're somewhat different. So we want to make sure that we're meeting with someone, we're being mentored by someone who really can share our values, because again, values are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Values of an organization are what you see when the organization is interacting. So that the values piece is key. The other point that you put up is that you mentioned is someone that I can feel comfortable sharing things with.
Mm-hmm.
And having the difficult conversation, that is a crucial one. You got to make sure you're being mentored by someone that's safe. They're not going to betray a confidence. They're not going to betray a trust. Another note that I found in the book was that they're available when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled on that one, to be honest with you. I kind of like, really? Like whenever they need me? And what I quickly went to was that every one of my coaching clients has my cell number. And I tell them that if you're in a coaching relationship with me, an agreement with me, for the duration of that agreement, you get access to me 24/7. And people say, really? And I said, yes. And someone, you know, said, well, don't people abuse that? And the answer is nobody's ever abused it. Because if we're in, let's say you're in a coaching / or mentor and or mentoring relationship, you value the other person. And you really would only bother them if you really needed them.
Right.
So you don't have to worry, but you do have to be able to be, it has to be somebody that's available. You know, one of my coaching clients right now, her dad is at death's door. Like, it could happen any hour in the next, you know, 24 to 48 hours. And I just said to her, I said, just remember, you can call me if you just need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we're looking for in a mentor. We also want a mentor that always gives their best. And I think for the mentors out there, well, which all of us should be mentors, right, at some point, you should always be mentoring someone that isn't quite as far down the path of life that you are. But someone is looking up to you, and you got to give them 100%. And you can't say, well, I'll give you 110% next week, because that's not possible. 100% is all we have. And if you come to a meeting and you're only giving 90%, you just shortchanged that person 10%. So make sure that they're always, that if you're the mentor, you're always giving the best. The other one is you always look out for the mentee's best interest. And that means that you're willing to have the really hard conversations.
Mm-hmm. You not just saying what you think the person wants to hear.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You got to say what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, if you really care about people, you don't want to hurt them. Well, that's true. But if you really care about someone, you want to make sure they hear the truth. Because the worst thing the only thing worse than hearing the truth and being hurt by it is not hearing it and hurting your life. You know, or doing something that is holding you back or worse, perhaps, something that could be harmful. So you really want to make sure that whatever mentor you're picking, that mentor is really the person that's going to say, this is what it is, straight
up.
You know, I know you don't want to hear this, but I got to tell you that. Think about what we do as parents. You know, you haven't had that many experiences yet with your lovely little girls, but trust me, when they're going to still be lovely, but when they're not so little, you're going to have some of those difficult conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically deal with the elephants in the room. Don't just ignore that big gray object that's swinging its trunk, you know, and wandering around, because after a while, it's going to step on somebody. And this was another great point that I want to make sure we at least touch on. This is another one of John Wooden's. He must have been the most amazing mentor. And, you know, that's probably why he was the best coach that ever coached sports. Because he didn't coach, he mentored, which is a little bit different. Mentors do not seek to create a new person. They simply seek to help a person become a better version of himself. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to change the person. When I mentor a person, my goal is to help them be the best version that they could possibly be. And there's another temptation that I want to make sure we talk about. Mentors should not try to clone themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I made that mistake once. And I just thought that my responsibility was to take a direct report that I thought at some point would be responsible for running the company and make him a version of me. Well, that, first of all, that is the ultimate in arrogance, to think that someone should even be a version of me. But the other one is I didn't take any consideration for what did he want to be? And what was his unique giftedness that could be really developed into a better person than me? And you know, fortunately, I was able to kind of rebuild that relationship from a really rough one. And the good news is I'm actually going to lunch with him tomorrow. So clearly he didn't hold a grudge very long. So Marissa, that was really what I was thinking about when I talked about the mentee and mentor.
Mm-hmm.
and the responsibilities of the mentee. Is there anything that you think about or questions that you can think of that maybe I missed?
You know, I think coming back to that John Wooden quote about creating a new person versus making a person a better version of themselves.
Right.
I think it's important for the mentee to think about that too. Mm. Like that.
Very good.
When they think about what their expectation is, it's like not about turning yourself into your mentor, kind of very like what good. You just said, but rather like taking yourself and your giftedness and your values and making a better version of right. yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that perspective, because mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. And it was something that I didn't miss. I was looking at it from the mentor side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, don't try to become your mentor. Exercise your giftedness. That is really good. And you know, mm-hmm. that's really something that as parents we should try to instill in our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try to be just like me. Be the best version of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what the world needs, is the best version of whoever we're created to be. Anything else you can think of?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week.
Oh, well, I always love a good surprise.
But I will share this, and I'm going to actually share a podcast with somebody, because I discovered a podcast.
Cool.
And I want all of our listeners to know about this one. Patrick Lencioni, which is, I love Patrick Lencioni. He is so funny.
He is.
Well, I discovered that he has a podcast.
How did we not know that?
I don't know. Well, you know, he hasn't had it as long as we have. So we beat
him to the Patrick podcast market.
We beat him to the table. And believe it or not, his podcast is called At the Table with Patrick Lencioni. And that's the reason so funny. Is his company is The Table Group.
Oh, right, right.
But I went back and I listened to his first and second podcast today. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he does?
Tell
they
stories.
They have advertisements, unpaid. Kind of like Airborne Gummies.
Kind of like us. They have unpaid sponsorships.
Unpaid advertisers. And what he said, it's funny. He goes, so it's time for our advertisement. Who would you like to? And he does it with just his couple of his team members. They sit around. They sit around the table and talk. And he said, so who would you like to advertise for today? And one guy said Southwest, and another guy said blueberries for whatever reason. But it was just it's a heartfelt, enjoyable, humorous, really deep. So I really encourage people, check out Patrick Lencioni's At the Table with Patrick Lencioni. And you can get it. I just went to iTunes to get it. I'm sure it's on
I will have
Play
to do
well.
That. He's so great.
It's really good. They're about 38 minutes long.
Okay.
But just for all of our listeners, remember, Marissa and I got there first.
And this is not a paid advertisement for their
It's
podcast.
Not a paid advertisement for him, but... you know, I may have to send him a message and say, hey, Mr. Lencioni, hey, I gave you a shout out on the next page.
Yeah, give us a shout out.
Give us a shout out. And so please, folks, check that out. And the other thing is that we will also put, there will be the link in the post, and we'll put in the description of the email that I sent out last year about they made such a difference. And I'll also identify the podcast as well.
Great.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.